Hi there, boys and girls. Welcome. You're just in time for our Children's Bible Club meeting. Oh, before you sit down, why not run to the phone and call a couple of your friends and remind them to listen? If you can, give them the call letters and frequency numbers of your station so they can find it quickly and not miss any of the singing or story. Join Aunt Carolyn and the choir for a good time today. And here's Mr. Woods in the choir to open the program. Thank you, choir. Say, boys and girls, does your mother have a cookie jar in your kitchen? Better yet, does she keep it filled with goodies? A cookie jar is always delightful and seems to draw us like a magnet. Doctors and health workers these days are always telling us not to eat too many sweets, and I'm sure that's good advice, especially if we would eat too many and get sick or fat. But if you lean forward now, and listen closely, I'll tell you a secret of one sweet you can consume all you want. The Word of God is sweet to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. David said in Psalms 119:103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And in Psalms 19:10 he said, that the Lord's judgments were sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Proverbs says about the knowledge of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ, it is like the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So you can read and study and memorize all the Word of God you want, and it will do you good. Jeremiah said in 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Oh, the Bible is a wonderful book, and I challenge you Bible clubbers to get busy reading your Bible this week and let it bring sweetness and joy to your heart. Then write me or email me at AuntCarolyn@childrensbibleclub.com and let me know where in the Bible you're reading and what the Word of God means to you. I'll be looking for your note. All right, choir.
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know.
Today's story is The Judge is in. News traveled slowly in Bible days, but when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law and priest in Midian, heard of God's great power and bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, supplying bread and water for them, and giving them victories over their enemies, he made a decision. "All right, my dear," he said to his daughter, "it's time for you to go back to your husband and take the boys back to their father." You see, sometime before the plagues in Egypt began, Moses had sent his wife Zipporah and their two sons back to her home in Midian to stay with her father for safety. So now Jethro took them to meet Moses out in the wilderness. "What a happy reunion! My, how you boys have grown," he cheered as the happy boys greeted their father. "It was wonderful to be together again." And Moses told Jethro all God had done for his people in Egypt and in their travel. The more Moses told, the more excited Jethro became. He exclaimed, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." And he made a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. Then Aaron and all the elders of Israel joined in the feast of worship and praise to God. Jethro stayed overnight, and the next day he observed a disturbing sight. Moses sat in a chosen place as judge, and the people came to him for advice and judgment. What a good idea! Yet the longer Jethro watched, the more concerned he became. This court lasted all morning and all afternoon until dusk and sunset. The long line of people didn't seem to get shorter. The judge stayed in his seat. The judge was in all day. Moses listened to every person's problem or complaint until he was weary, and the people stood in line until they were exhausted. Jethro was shocked. "Moses," he asked, "what is this? Why are you sitting out here all day? And why are all the people standing in line from morning to night?" "Well," Moses replied, "when the people have problems or disputes, they come to me to settle them. I judge between them. They need someone to help them understand God's law, and I'm that someone." Jethro objected, No, this is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. Yes, totally burn out. And the people, they'll be worn out too. This is too much for one person. Listen to me." And he set forth a plan. He told Moses to appoint good men from the congregation, truthful, God-fearing, unselfish, honorable men. "Divide the people by tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, and let the chosen men judge for them. Let the people bring their small problems to these men and bring the big disputes to you." "Moses, if you'll do this," Jethro said, "you will be able to work better and live longer, and the people will be happier and more satisfied, too." "Huh, I guess so. Nobody likes to stand in line for hours for anything, let alone to get advice or settle an argument." Jethro also had the wisdom to add, "If the Lord wills," he said, "if the Lord command thee so." He knew that man's advice and plan, even his own, would fail, no matter how good it sounded, if it wasn't God's will and way. So Moses took his father-in-law's advice and set up the system. He chose dependable men out of the congregation and set up their lower courts to hear the small cases, but all the hard, tough cases came to Moses for judgment. With this job done, Jethro said goodbye to his family and returned to Midian to his flocks. Moses barely got the new judicial system organized before another message came. God's cloud overhead began to move, which told the people to pack up their tents and belongings, herd their animals together, and get ready to travel again. It had been 3 months since the Israelites left Egypt, but they hadn't reached Canaan yet. How far would they move this time? They would only know by God's cloud. It floated along above them until it came to a standstill in the desert at the foot of Mount Sinai. So that's where they set up camp again. Can't you just see the busy people and hear the commotion as they drove big wooden stakes into the ground and raised their tents and built fires for cooking, put down their mats for sleeping, and tended their flocks? What a job! But God had delivered them from slavery and promised them a land of their own. Canaan was only a few days' journey away. This camping out and living on the road would not last long. They would soon be in their homeland and establish their own homes. What a blessing that would be! Little did they know what lay ahead. And you and I don't know what may lie ahead either. We must obey God and follow Him one day at a time. We must plan any job, journey, or project only to please the Lord, saying, "We will do this if it's God's will," or, as Jethro said, "if God command thee so." God's first command is to be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." Won't you come to Christ and follow him every day?
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.